Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call on the half year results 2011 of Umicore. I am pleased to present Mr. Grinberg, CEO, and Mrs. Vollerten, CFO. For the first part of the call, let me remind you that all participants will be in listen-only mode. Afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Mr. Grinberg, your line is open.
Thank you, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the presentation of Umicore's results for the first half of 2011. In broad terms, I'm very proud to present a record set of numbers, and also numbers that are fully in line with the market expectations. Perhaps even more importantly so, today, given the growing uncertainties about the global economy that we all read about on a daily basis, I'm happy to confirm that we are on track to achieve a record EBIT, a record recurring EBIT of somewhere between 400 and 425 million for the full year, in line with the guidance that we gave the market at the end of quarter one or at the end of April 2011. And clearly, it is rewarding to see that our efforts of the past few years to position Umicore so well in growth segments are starting to pay off. As you will recall from the quarter one trading update, we posted a 13% revenue growth in the first quarter of this year. And the good news is that our revenues continue to grow at exactly the same pace in the second quarter, and this was the case in all business segments of the company. In total, our revenues in the first half reached a record level of more than 1.1 billion euro, and revenue growth clearly was the key driver behind the earnings increase. Both in terms of revenue and the recurring EBIT, we equaled the record levels reached in the first half of 2008, while in terms of earnings per share, we are setting now a new record with €1.39 of earnings per share. The board yesterday decided the payment of an interim dividend of 40 euro cents per share, taking into account, of course, the strong performance of the first half, the outlook for the full year, and, of course, the dividend policy that exists for the group. Further in the presentation, I will comment on some of our strategic growth initiatives. Suffice to say, as a matter of introduction, that all of our key projects are on track and that we are well on track to achieve our Vision 2015 ambitions. The graphs on slide 3 of the presentation material show the evolution over the years of revenue and recurring EBIT. I will not comment too much these graphs at this point in time in the conference call. I will rather comment on the specific business developments on a business group by business group basis in a moment. Our safety performance, and I'm now turning to slide 4, also showed a satisfactory improvements. As you may recall from previous discussions, we launched some new safety initiatives across the group a couple of years ago, and last year we made it a clear objective to make Umicore a zero-accident workplace by 2015. Today, I would say it is somewhat premature to formally declare that the new initiatives are paying off, although it is also pleasing to see a reduction in both the accident frequency and the severity rates that were recorded in the first part of this year, and the improvement trends that we have today are an extra motivation for all of the teams of Umicore to work hard at finding new ways to achieve zero accident in the future and as quickly as possible. In the course of the first half, the number of employees increased by about 350. That's an increase of about 2.5% over the figures at the end of December 2010, and I must say this is a logical effect of the growth in production as we are ramping up to cope with the growing demand in most of our segments. So it's a logical effect of the growth in the existing businesses and existing sites. Also the result of the startup of a number of new facilities and also the result of adding resources that are required to work on new future projects. On slide number 5, you see that our R&D spend was largely stable compared to prior periods, with a continued focus on catalysis, energy materials, while some of the development efforts in recycling have now moved to operational expenses. Capital expenditures were close to 100 million euro, also I believe in line with your expectations and with the guidance that was previously given, and over half of that amount was related to our growth project. But I will comment in somewhat more detail on our investment projects as I move to the business section. And actually, let me now turn to the, performance of the various business groups, and starting with the catalysis on page number 8. In catalysis, revenues grew by 15%, with growth actually accelerating in the second quarter, while car production grew a mere 3% over the same period of time. Car production in the first half was somewhat affected by a shortage of certain components, and in particular electronic components, following the tsunami in Japan in March. Clearly, we outperformed the market, and this was most notable and visible in Europe and North America. In Europe, diesel regained some market share, and there we benefited from our strong leadership position in this segment. In North America, we outpaced the market too, and this reflects a favorable customer mix, and it is the result of a new business that is now fully ramping up. In both regions, actually, revenue growth was boosted by the repositioning of our business towards more fuel-efficient platforms that are getting increasingly popular. Asia is obviously the region where car production was most affected by the tsunami, and our revenues there developed in line with the market. China, car production, as you know, continued to grow, albeit at a somewhat slower pace than in prior years, and we are continuing our efforts to grow the business there and to cope with higher demand levels. Recurring EBIT for the segment grew 18% year-on-year, driven by the revenue growth in both the automotive catalyst and the precious metals chemistry businesses. And I must say about the latter that it benefited from higher demand for catalyst precursors, obviously, as the demand in automotive increased. And it also benefited from further market penetration in life science applications. We continue to expand capacity in catalysis and to add capabilities to cope with the growing demand and also to address new opportunities. In particular, we have recently decided to expand capacity in Suzhou in China to cope with the growth in demand for light-duty applications. We will also add HDD production capabilities in the same plant to support the business that was recently awarded to us in China. As you know, a new test and development and technology development center is also under construction in Suzhou, and it should be operational in mid-2012. And this will certainly help us increase our technical intimacy with light and heavy-duty customers and position us quite uniquely in terms of technology offering. We are also adding HDD production capacity and capabilities in Europe to serve the Eurosys business that we have secured so far. And that capacity actually will be installed in France, will come on stream next year. Turning to energy materials, and I'm now on slide 11, revenues grew 9%, driven mainly by a strong demand across the cobalt and specialty materials businesses. In particular, we saw continued strength in most of the chemical, plating, and catalyst applications served by the ceramics and chemicals business line. Sales of the cobalt powders used in tooling applications continue to grow, driven by the recovery in the automotive and construction industries. Sales of cathode materials used in rechargeable batteries grew nicely year on year, and this was the case both for the lithium cobalt type of materials and for the mixed compounds, or the NMC, nickel manganese cobalt compounds. As far as lithium cobalt is concerned, the strong demand is due to the fast market penetration of tablet computers and touch phones, or in other words, applications that require high energy density. In certain other portable electronic applications, NMCs are successfully substituting higher cobalt-containing compounds, and quite importantly so, demand for NMCs used in hybrid and electric vehicle batteries continued to grow fast, which bodes well for the new investment, the investment that was recently completed in Japan, and the expansion that is currently underway in Korea. Next to the business that has already been secured and that is justifying or explaining the increase in sales in the first part of 2011 already, I must also say that our teams are working very intensively these days at qualifying the products for a number of new HEV platforms. In electro-optic materials, sales of germanium substrates reached a new record with continued high demand for satellites and sales for concentrated photovoltaic applications starting to pick off nicely. Growth in LED sales was less pronounced than in prior years, and this may be partly due to some temporary destocking effects at our customers. Sales of infrared materials, on the other hand, continue to be affected quite substantially by the cuts in government-sponsored programs and also a growing price competition, in particular in Asia, or from Asia, I should say. The downside, of course, in the mainstream products, before I forget, the market introduction of rotary target technology for coatings used in display and TV applications continued to make progress. Downside, of course, of high-tech markets and this kind of new high-tech applications, I mean the battery materials, the rotary target technologies for display and PV applications, is that you need to incur high cost to develop and qualify the products before you are in a position to generate any revenues. And this is clearly the situation and the stage of maturity of the businesses in which we are today. And as announced earlier in previous conference calls, this is why the EBIT development in the first half was somewhat less favorable than the revenue development, and comes as no surprise. What was not anticipated, of course, is the series of natural disasters that have affected our customers and our business facilities in the segment. That was the case, first of all, with the tsunami in Japan in March, and after that was also the case with the tornadoes that hit some of our sites or neighboring communities in southwestern U.S. Fortunately, as was also mentioned in previous conference calls, while several of our colleagues had material damages to their belongings, none of them was injured. Also, energy materials is the business group that is most affected by the weakness of the U.S. dollar against the euro and against Asian currencies. In many of the energy-related markets that we serve, pricing is still predominantly in dollar, while production costs, especially in Asia, is in other currencies. I've already alluded to our investment projects in rechargeable battery materials in Japan and Korea. Suffice to add that an expansion or a further expansion of precursor production capacity is in the pipeline for next year. Turning to Performance Materials on slide 14, we have distinguished between the fully consolidated businesses of Umicore and the non-consolidated participation in Elements and Abrasives in order to explain the development of earnings there. In the fully consolidated businesses, revenues grew 11%, and you may recall that from a previous presentation about our strategy that our long-term objective is to grow the performance materials revenue above GDP, above global GDP of 3 to 4% per annum. So clearly we are above that figure for the time being. And recurring EBIT was up by some 7% over the same period of time. And this reflects the continued growth across businesses and regions, with the recovery in building products starting to take shape in Europe, as we had anticipated a year ago on the basis of some leading indicators of the construction industry. And in that respect, I would like to add that demand for surface-treated facade products used in high-end architectural projects in particular continues to grow, both in Europe and in export markets. In electroplating, sales were strong too, especially in decorative and electronic applications. The same goes for technical materials, where sales were supported by the recovery or continued recovery in the construction sector and the continued growth in electricity distribution applications. In platinum engineered materials, revenues were stable, and we are now preparing the business for the next phase of growth, with key investments being made in Japan and Germany. In zinc chemicals, sales of zinc powders and oxides grew as the demand in applications such as tires or anti-corrosive paints for containers continued to recover. Margins, however, were somewhat lower due to lower premiums on end products and also less favorable supply conditions for the recycling feed materials. Sales of zinc powders used in alkaline batteries were down on the record levels reached in 2010. However, the business continues to do well and work on further customer and product qualifications. As you could read from the segment data that was published this morning, the overall recurring EBIT of performance materials was down year on year, and this was due to the much reduced contribution from Element 6 Abrasives. The business itself did relatively well, with sales growing some 10% year on year, in particular in applications such as precision machining and mining. Bottom line, however, was hard hit by the weakness of the US dollar against the euro and the South African rand in particular. As I alluded to a minute ago, we are building a workshop for platinum engineered materials in Japan to be in a position to better serve our Japanese customers, especially in high-end technical glass applications. This new workshop should be operational by the end of this year. We are also expanding and upgrading our production capacity in Germany for the same unit, for the glass applications, display glass applications, as well as for the catalysts used in the fertilizer industry. Last and not least, let me now turn to the recycling business group. I'm now on slide 17. Clearly, the growth in revenue and earnings in that business segment is remarkable. It highlights once again our unique technology offering and our unique market positioning in recycling. Supply conditions for the precious metals refining unit have continued to improve, as I had indicated in previous meetings that they would. We kept increasing the proportion of high-margin recyclables and industrial byproducts in the overall mix. And at the same time, we managed to improve the process further and increase somewhat the volumes that were processed. I may be preempting some of your questions by adding that the future supply looks pretty good. Finally, we benefit in this activity from high received metal prices, both for precious metals, some of which were hedged, and for secondary metals, most of which are all of them, all of which cannot be hedged. We also had a very strong performance in the jewelry and industrial metals business unit, with high demand for silver-based products, and the recycling activity continuing to run at high levels, supported to a certain extent by high metal prices. You will undoubtedly recall that the higher the metal prices, the higher the feed, the incoming feed for recycling. Compared to last year, the results of our precious metals management operations were also a bit higher, reflecting good trading conditions as well as continued high demand for investment bars, gold and silver bars, that are high in demand for retail investors these days and continue to be seen as a safe investment when inflationary fears are increasing. As far as investments are concerned, in the recycling segment, we recently announced a new €25 million investment wave in the Hoboken site in order to upgrade and expand the sampling facility. And you know how important sampling is in order to determine as accurately as possible the precious and secondary metals content of the raw materials that we process. So the new facilities, the new sampling facilities should be commissioned sometime in mid-2013, and they will help to react even more rapidly than today to changing market conditions and supply mixes. We also, in terms of investment, we also commissioned the new UHT battery smelter in Hoboken in May and have started it up. And it will actually be officially inaugurated in early September, and after that we will start with the testing phase of new material feeds and new blends of materials. You will recall from our strategy presentation a while ago that this technology is meant to be the cornerstone of our expansion in recycling in the mid and long term. At this point in time, I would like to give the floor to Martin Verleuten. Martin will elaborate on the financials, after which I will wrap up and comment the outlook for the full year.
It's pretty straightforward financial data with earnings per share, as Mark already alluded to, at €1.39 per share, which allowed the board to authorize an interim dividend payment of 40 cents a share, which represents half of the dividend that was paid last year. Non-recurring items, not very many. I mean, one of them that you might note is the sale of part of the Nearstar subscription rights, where we chose to sell the Nearstar subscription rights and as such dilute some of our stake in Nearstar. We had to register an impairment on metal inventory, specifically on the zinc metal inventory, because, as you know, we created that zinc inventory at a very high zinc price at the time that we separated our operations from the Nearstar operation. The IAS 39 impact was positive to a level of €11 million, and as you know, is non-cash in nature. When we look at the financial debt evolution since the end of the year, we see very strong operating cash flows. Of course, at these high metal prices and high volumes, going hand in hand with an increase of working capital. But as you can also see at this point in time, at a controlled level. I think we should continue to watch the working capital needs because indeed metal prices that keep going up, that clearly is something that affects us in a material manner. The CapEx of 100 million, other major around 100 million, other major elements being the dividend payment to the tune of 54 million. So overall, we brought our net debt down to 348 million euro, coming from 360 at the end of the year. Now, when we look at the capital structure, obviously, with the gearing ratio that you can see on the next slide, a very strong capital structure, and continue to be the debt continuing to be supported by our bankers. And as you could see in a previous press release, we refinanced some of our syndicated loan, which was coming to expiration in June. And I think that is all I have to say about the financial results before Mark will continue with the outlook for the rest.